Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, now starting now, we can be on the air anytime we want. Okay, so I shouldn't say on the air. We can record to tape anytime we want. So the only thing I wanted to tell you is, I spoke yesterday to a guy named Rich Brown. Now, the person I want you to know about is Reverend Johnson, and he's the one who I know that deals with caregiving. He works with insurance companies. He's already produced a play on caregiving, so he's a very good contact for you. But what I didn't know was yesterday I was speaking to a guy named Rich Brown, who I actually do work for. He's one of my clients, on cognitive fitness software. And he told me out of the clear blue sky that he's been working with Sage in New York in what they call the Stonewall Project, which is a project for the LGBT community who are aging. And he's providing the technology, the communication technology for it. And I told him about you, and he says, oh, yeah, let's talk. Who knows about what? But the point is, it's 10 people going around the world. So,
I love it. People. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so when we're finished today, but I'm running out, and I actually have to go into a financial office today, but on Monday, I'm going to make all the email connections. I just wanted you to know I didn't forget, and I said that this show would be my tickler to put everybody together. Okay?
No, that's super. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I'll throw one at you. You had sent me some contacts that do video, and I looked them up, and it looked very professional. I have to tell you, it looked too expensive. I didn't call them or anything. I didn't want to bond them. But
I can get them. Yeah, just let me know what your budget is.
Well, I didn't actually have one. Let me tell you, I got one. Maybe I'll even send it to you. Why don't I just send you what one group sent me?
Okay.
And see what it looks like to you. Maybe it's cheap. I don't even know because it's not my world. Okay?
Right.
But I just know that speakers, we don't get paid all that much to speak, and I can't believe they're spending several thousand dollars to have one of this many speeches videoed so they could put 3 minutes of it on their website, because you need a lot on your website. So it just seems like there might be a cheaper way to do it, less, certainly not cinema quality. But
I think this would be under 1,000 for sure.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. So I'll send it to you. I was hoping it would be, but it wasn't. So,
my guys would be. Okay.
Your guys would be. So I'm going to get, one way or the other, by Monday, we'll talk, we'll exchange emails. All right, I'm ready to rock and roll. The only thing Stuart didn't tell you was at the end of every segment is music, and that's, you won't know it's there, I will. I'll know when it's coming on, and it's my cue to wrap up because they're going to go to a commercial. Mm-hmm. And what I generally do is, since I know, I talk at the end so you don't get caught up in the music. However, should it happen that you were talking and I didn't stop you and you hear music, just wrap it up very fast because it's going to go in a minute, in a second or two. You'll get cut off, and that's what I don't like. So it hasn't happened, but it can. So I tell everybody to hear music at some point after the beginning of each segment. It's because it's a cue to wrap up. That's what that is, actually. Okay.
And when will this air?
Yeah. Sunday.
When will this air?
It's going to air Sunday, but I think what's even much more important for our community is I put it on my social media, usually on Monday, and on Wednesday, it's archived so that anybody can hear it from anywhere on the website, but also they can hear it on an app, and that's Sunday and forever at Biz Talk Radio app. So it's not hard
to
hear.
And I'll be able to get a clip. Will I be able to get a link of that?
Absolutely. You'll get the whole show once it's edited and already it's aired. Okay?
Great.
All right.
Uh-huh. That's fine.
And I would send you, like, post stuff with all this in it. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
So we are ready. Yes, we are ready.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we have a really interesting guest today, and also it's going to be a fun show. I ended up on Broadway yesterday, not performing. I was in my usual place, The Seat, watching a show called The Prom. It's a musical, and it's very, very popular. However, the themes are unusual. The theme is a homophobic teenagers in middle America and their parents. And yes, it's a comedy. Why? Because Shakespeare said a comedy is anything that has a happy ending. So, from the point of view of the LGBT community, I don't know what they think, although everybody was applauding, I can say that it was not ageist. The main characters, other than a couple of the teens, were older. And they actually treated the whole thing with sensitivity. These people, they were no old jokes. They were terrific dancers, terrific singers. And it was a kind of refreshing thing to see that stereotypes of young people were up there, but stereotypes of old people they figured out how to get rid of. I actually thought that I gave them a plus on the ageism police scale. However, it was not a serious show. And we need to look at this in terms of our media in a much more serious, thoughtful way. And today we have a producer who's doing just that. Her name is Zanab. We call her Z. I call her Z because it's easier for me, believe me, Ali. And she is the producer and principal of Zag Media Productions. And right now she's really eyeballs deep in this whole area of aging, images, LGBT community, caregiving, everything we talk about on this show, without really realizing the impact of media when it comes to these messages. So, Z, thank you so much for being with us today to discuss this.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we'll talk a little bit in a minute about Zag Media Productions and what it means to be a producer, an independent producer, the way you are. But I'd like to take a deep dive. I know that one of the things right now that's in pre-production is a full-length offering called Sugar Coated. I want you to tell us a little bit about it, and particularly the title.
Yes. Well, Sugar Coated is regarding it. You know, it's a musician who is Grammy nominated, and he wants to resurrect his career, but he risks losing the home of his ailing mother to create a musical that would put him back on top. And he gets assistance from a feisty retirement community that he realizes that the time he spent putting his family first has not only restored his career, but his faith in humanity. And it's loosely based on actually a friend of mine, Cody Mundy. He is also known as Sugar Coated. That was his nickname when he was in Kid Creole and the Coconuts. And Dr. Bizarre's original Savannah band. So he actually was a caregiver to his mom with Alzheimer's. And I when I got the idea for this, I'm like, we don't see our, and I was a caregiver for my dad who had dementia. And I'm like, we don't see ourselves in mainstream television. Like, nobody talks about this. And this was like a few years ago. This has been in the works for a while. And I wanted to kind of change that because I was someone who, you know, worked in corporate America as a consultant for a lot of different companies. And I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be in a more creative industry.
and producing was one of my things that I had latched on to years ago. And this was my story. Like, I wanted to have some reason at that time while I'm taking care of my dad, wanted to change what I did as a career. And I didn't see myself as, you know, that person. The resources weren't there, the stigma, the ageism that comes up. And that's what the passion comes in for this particular project.
You know, I just did a review of a movie, Chevy Chase movie, Richard Dreyfuss, Andy McDowell, called The Last Laugh. And it did not get good reviews. It was panned. The people liked it more than the critics. I loved it. And the reason I loved it, and I want to relate this to sugarcoated and ask you what is, I think, a fairly tough question. It looked at assisted living community and people in the assisted living community and what they liked and what they didn't like, why they went, and so on. It was very difficult to show that in a sensitive way without being stereotypical, without making old jokes, which they did quite a few. How about you? When you're doing something like sugarcoated, that's really based, at least, on something that every parent, and you've had the same experience. How do you show the people in a movie without minimizing them or trivializing them or only showing the problems that they're going through? Is that something that you think about, or is it just so natural because you know and love these kinds of people?
No, I think what you need to, as we all need to bring out, is the connection, the humanism, the focus more on the talent, and what makes us laugh, what kind of brings us, the glue that sort of brings us together. Yes, he's working in a retirement community, but these are people that were once entertainers that they could bring people to, you know, together either by their music or their acting. Or their art, some way that we can share that, you know, and not so much talk about the aches and pains of growing old, but the joy of growing old and able to share that. This particular project, Sugarcoat, is multi-generational. And it's also multi-generational.
You know, you remind me as you speak and you talk about the productivity. My mantra, we'll say, my brand, is that people should be productive as they age, no matter what. In fact, you'll see, I end every show, including this one, with get out there, kids, and make it happen. What does that mean? That just means do something. So there's a wonderful community called Woodland Hills, and I had the opportunity to go down there and do some grand rounds. And it's in California, in the L.A. area, Woodland Hills, near the Getty Museum. People know Getty. And all the people there were in the entertainment industry, as you would be if you were retiring in L.A. And they do exactly what you're talking about. They have their own shows. They still have a radio station. They have a television station in Woodland Hills, which is an assisted living and older adult community. And you can see it right there. So what's defining them is not their age or even their ailments, but what's defining them is what they produce. And we're so looking forward to seeing Sugarcoated because I think that's, without saying it, without hitting people, you're showing it. And that's incredible. We stop, I have to ask you this question. I know raising money is important for all these things. Being a producer sounds very glamorous, right, and very creative. But, boy, you're the point person for getting the money. Are people interested in aging and putting money into this kind of entertainment? Are you finding it, you know, a blank wall, or is there receptivity?
It's all of that. And I think a lot of it has to do with me, because I did get into this later in life, correct? And,
yeah.
You know, I have to sort of go back to my younger self when I was younger and I could ask for things and not, you know, just the fear factor wasn't there. So I've sort of come full circle and I'm back to being my youthful self when I'm asking for things. And people are very receptive, but when you're dealing with investors, especially for the sugar-coated piece, they want to know, you know, their return, et cetera. They know it's a risky business. So one of the things I am on the forefront of doing is giving people the perception of how we need to sort of change, you know, our stories and Hollywood and how people fund, how independent film is actually funded. In different countries, they have, you know, funds for films, for filmmakers. Here in this country, it's just sort of like you want to go make a movie, and it's, you know, it costs money. It's cheaper now because of the technology, but still you have to, you know, pay the actors, and, you know, these are SAG actors. You got to pay for music, licensing, things like that. It just, the cost is staggering just to make a film. And this is a low-budget film.
Yeah, well, a low budget is always good. And the reason I bring it up for everybody to know is I really am the incredibly believe that media leads the way when it comes to isms, racism, feminism, ageism, and in my case, ageism. And so I think until we change the images on the screen, small, big, and tiny, we're going to still be ageist. And I believe that if we do change the images, the change in our culture will be almost immediate. It's very quick. It does not take a long time. It just takes a long time to raise the money to put it on the screen in the first place. Once it's there, it works. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in the LGBT community. And the image when it comes to that and aging don't go anywhere.
For my age, da 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 da.
Okay, so you see how it goes. Our timing is pretty good, right?
Yes.
We're completely off the air now. They're putting the commercial in now. All right?
Okay.
And I want to go over now to talk about Mama Gloria. What I will do first, though, is there anything that you want to use as a website or anything to let people know, or are you fundraising online or anything like that right now?
For Mama Gloria?
For anything.
Oh, yeah. For sugarcoatedthemovie.com, there's a space there they could go on if they want to give. It's sugarcoatedthemovie.com. And then for Mama Gloria?
Yes.
That checks are made payable to Women Make Movies. Mm-hmm. And then the name of the project would be Mama Gloria in the subject line. And
right.
That address.
Oh, addresses. That's going to go on our website. So that is no. That's something they have to do kind of by hand, right?
Exactly. For Mama Gloria.
Okay, good. I will give both. But it's sugarcoatedthemovie.com.
Exactly.
Okay. Good. Okay. Very, very good.
That's
all right.
The website
so
for that.
So we are ready. Okay, very good. We have to be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And one of the things we do when we tell the truth on this show is we tell the truth about aging. And one of the biggest problems that we have that fosters ageism is the way people see us on the screen. And that's any screen, whether it's a commercial, whether it's YouTube, whether it's on the big screen, whether it's on the computer screen. It's very, very skewed. And the moment that the images are more realistic, that does not mean that everybody's going to live forever. That doesn't mean that people don't get wrinkles or Alzheimer's or frailty. But not everybody and not all the time. And that's not the only thing that defines them. And so I look to people like my guest, Zee Ali. She's the principal in ZAG Media Productions. She's had her own experiences with being a caregiver for an Alzheimer's parent. She's working right now on a full-length feature called Sugarcoated, a name for a musician who finds that by being a caregiver, he's lit up his own life and maybe his own future. And showing people for their strengths and not their weaknesses. And it has not been done. This is a strange thing to say. But, you know, aging is the only thing that everybody on this planet has in common. Period.
That's correct.
The end. And yet, it's true. It's never been used to bring us together. So let's talk about another production that you have underway. First of all, I'm very sensitive. I'm going to take 1 minute to promote here. I'm a promoter by nature. I'm very sensitive to the fact that there's no money in the arts. My daughter is a producer, completely different. And I know how much good they do for children. So if you are somebody who's interested, if you've always wanted to be an angel, you can go to sugarcoatedthemovie.com. And you can actually see how you can contribute and become a part of art, as well as a promoter of anti-ageism. If you're interested in the next project we're going to talk about in a minute, that's something you can read all about next week on GenerationBoldRadio.com, our website. It's going to be right on the front page. And this is a very exciting project. It's called Mama Gloria. Tell us about that, Z.
Mama Gloria is an intimate portrait of aging about a 73-year-old black transgender woman who transitioned before Stonewall, started a charm school for transgender youth in her 60s, and is now looking for someone to spend the rest of her life with.
Well, this has got everything, doesn't it? It's got every ism
right,
you can think about, right? Every bit of diversity.
Right.
True. And romance. I mean, what else do you want?
I
see that. I have to ask you this. How did you come up with this particular project? This is a project that is rarely looked at, although, you know, with me it's a little different because I am so steeped into the world of aging. And there's a lot of work, particularly in the New York area, on both coasts, on the transgender aging, LGBT, and so on. So it's not that unusual for me to look at it as a topic. It is, however, quite unusual outside of the community to create a major piece of work with regard to it. So how did you come across this particular story and decide to work on it?
Well, my dear friend and collaborator, we worked on two shorts together, Lucina Fisher. She has a transgender daughter. And through her work, the Gender Cool Project, which has been aired on the Megyn Kelly Show and other various programming throughout the country, they met Mama Gloria when there was a conference in Chicago. And they talked, and a documentary was born. We shot this a few months ago in Chicago. We do have a funding sizzle out there, and we're looking forward to complete the rest of the film to get in time for the Oscar qualifying film festivals that are going to be coming up later this summer in the fall.
Yes, and those, again, who want to get more involved with this kind of topic, there are many people who've been thrilled to be part of creativity and art, but they themselves, what they contribute, and I think they're the most important, second most important person. First most important person are the persons who buy the tickets. They're the most important people. Second are the people who give the money for the art to begin with. And with all due respect, Z, third are the people who create the art, because without the other two, it doesn't exist. As you say,
right.
we have countries that give money to the arts in a greater scale than we do. And in the old days, we had patrons. But today we don't have that. Today we have independent producers like you that really have to go out and make sure that these things exist. And once they do, we have to go attend. And so you've been successful. I do want to get to some of the things that, like Danger World and Death in the Family. Tell us a little bit about those. I know Danger World is currently airing right now, and it's a very different kind of project.
Right. So that is a horror story that was written by Tana Reeves Due and her husband Stephen Barnes. They needed more of a proof of concept of some of their work. And they've been successful horror writers. That's pretty much their genre. And again, they're friends of Regina Fisher. And so we all collaborated on making that film in upstate New York. And, you know, it's, again, multi-generational. You have a grandfather and a 13-year-old girl, although they're surviving the zombie plague. But it's bringing those two different generations together.
And you're also the executive producer of Death and Family. And now that earned the Silver Award at the Philadelphia International Film Festival. And because we're going to be tossing to a commercial for a moment, I want to take that minute to tell everybody that for those of you who are listening, and I know there are people listening in Atlanta, listening in Tennessee, Missouri, Philadelphia may not be the city that you associate with the greatest of art, but you would be wrong. Living between Philadelphia and New York City, as I do, and I could tell you, and I'm not kidding, that I have seen greater productions, more astute critics and judging in Philadelphia. I shouldn't say this because my art friends are from New York, but it happens to be true. There's nothing like the Philadelphia Fringe Festival. It's as good as the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So when you have a Silver Award at the Philadelphia International Film Festival, it's not small. This is a very, very major thing. When we come back, I want to ask Z about these festivals, these awards, because, as she says, she wants to wrap up Mama Gloria for submission for Oscar Awards. How does that work? I'm very curious about it. We just had the red carpet. And here's somebody who, Z Ali, who a little bit later in life threw herself into this world. And it says to me a little bit more than just about producing, but about dreaming and making it come true. And there's no bigger dream than winning these awards if you're a producer. So we'll be back.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, I'm really very curious about this because you kind of casually said, I want to have this finished and wrapped up for submission. So I want to hear about that in this next segment. Is that okay?
Sure, yes.
And how it works. Okay, go ahead, Stu.
There you go.
Yeah, we are, because I really want to talk about these awards. I think people are very interested in them. And there's no, they don't have, you know, you're like an insight into this. Yeah, now we're quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And before we look at some really, really glittering celebrity lifestyle, with our guest and producer, Z Ali, who is the principal of Zag Media Productions. I'll give you a little bit of a recap. I do want you to remember that we have two things going for us in addition to our radio show, to spread the word about successful aging all around the globe. One is our website, which is generationboldradio.com. And if you go there, you go to Ask Adrienne, and if there's a topic, a guest, a question, that you would like aired here on the show. We usually can get that topic covered with an expert guest, or if you have a name of a guest that somebody you would like. We've had celebrities, we've had people from all over the world. The second thing is we have a brand new blog, and I am told that we have 30 to 40,000 followers, which is just knocks me out. It's called Aging for Beginners, and has everything on it from beauty product for you that's, you know, nothing. We don't sell anything. We only make resources and suggestions. Or take care of your hearing and everything in between. So it's very good information. It is published by Bottom Line Personal. And all you have to do is go on Aging for Beginners, Adrienne Berg, and it'll all come up, including the associated videos. Now, for example, Zia Ali, who's our guest today, she is a producer and she's fundraising for her productions. One of them is called SugarcoatedTheMovie.com. It's going to be a full-length feature about people who are in adult community, assisted living community. They are musicians, they're actors, and they are there to support a younger generation individual who's a caregiver. It should be a hoot, and it should be something that changes images on the screen of aging. So if you're interested in learning more, you go to sugarcoatedthemovie.com. And we've also been talking about Mama Gloria, which you'll find information about on our website, generationboldradio.com, starting next Wednesday, if you're interested in learning more about that. I was interested in the fact that Z is in the midst of completing that project with a deadline. So tell us about that deadline and why you made yourself that deadline in terms of becoming and getting an award for that particular production.
Well, Regina Fisher, the writer-director for Mama Gloria, had a lot of success in another movie documentary that she did about a year ago called Birthright, A War Story. And they were also, that particular documentary was up for perhaps consideration for the Oscars. So what happens with when you see the, you know, the Oscars on television, so there's a number of film festivals in the world that are Oscar qualifying. So it's one thing to get in, but if you are actually, you win, it puts you on the fast track of being considered for an Oscar. A nomination.
I think people don't realize how that works. Yeah. Now, you actually have a silver award at the Philadelphia International Film Festival for as executive producer of Death in the Family. We didn't discuss that production. Tell us a little bit about Death in the Family. And is that one of the types of film festivals that you that are qualifying festivals for the Oscars? I think these are new things to most people listening.
Yeah, no, that is not a qualifying film festival. And I need to make a little bit of a separation here. So there's the Philadelphia Film Festival, and this is the International Film Festival. There is actually two different entities, and which can get confusing for a lot of people in some of the festival names. They're so close together. You know, there's Telluride. People know that name, but there's also Mountain. I think it's called Mountainside Film Festival, but that's also in Telluride. So some festivals have a lot of different names right there that are kind of a little bit confusing on which is which. But this one was a smaller film festival in the Philadelphia area. And this Death in the Family was my first entree into filmmaking. It's a short, and it deals with grief. A family loses their mom at a very early age to breast cancer, and the father and the daughter's grief is cut short. And it's sort of like that interaction that happens. He brings home another a girlfriend, you know, months later in their home. And so it's sort of showing the dynamics between the daughters and the father.
You know, it's very fascinating. The topics that are selected by most producers, before they select the topic, they go to, it's almost like people, lawyers, looking at how is the jury psychology, how are they going to vote? Well, most producers take a look first at what's going to sell, and then they decide what they're going to produce. It's very difficult what you're doing, which is deciding what should be out there and producing it and hoping that there's receptivity. And that's one of the reasons that we have this show. We really do want to create a forum for to show investors, to show audiences what is interesting, what's unique, what should be shown in an area that is so vast and has so little coverage, whether it's grief, whether it's caregiving, whether it's simple aging. unless you are dealing now today, there's some breakthroughs now with romantic comedies and aging. We've had a few of those on the big screen with big stars, but not a whole lot. And those movies, I'm going to add this pet peeve, that do have to do with aging, if they're really wonderful, often the issue of aging is obscured or not discussed at all. I'm going to give you one example, Z, The Wife. The Wife, fantastic movie, a wonderful movie.
Excellent.
Great start.
Yeah.
Great. But what did they talk about in that? Feminism. They did not talk about the fact that this was a 50-year-old marriage with people in their 70s or 80s and the dynamics of aging with regard to this film. Zero. Not one word with regard to that, and tons of literature on the feminist aspects of The Wife. So these are the kinds of things that I won't say it's upsetting. It's surprising to me how under the radar this topic is. Now, I have to say in the next minute or two, let's get back to death in the family. Again, a tough topic. How did you come up with that as one of your first projects?
We toyed around with a few different things. And because the writer, again, Lucino Fisher, this actually happened in her family. When you know, her mother died from breast cancer at the age of 45 and was left with, at the time she was 19, just started second year in college, and her younger sister was, you know, left at home at 13 years old. And when the father actually, you know, brought someone, you know, a girlfriend home from his past, but home with him into their house. And when I was out crowdfunding for this project, I met different people, male and female, and I told them about the storyline. They were like, oh, that happened in my family. You know, not exactly the same thing, but similar,
right,
where, you know, the mother might have died and the, you know, the father. And it was just very interesting how that was sort of like people understood that right away. So I thought,
you know,
we've got something here.
These things
here
are universal. They are absolutely universal and so irregularly shown. I'm hoping that this is going to become more of a trend. Not that I want everybody to look at every single television show, every Netflix, and every movie or novel from the point of view of aging, because I do that, and let me tell you, it's terrible. Don't do that. It's just that that's what strikes me no matter what I see today, because I'm so imbued with it. But for the universality of these topics, for the impact that aging has in every single family and every person on the planet, is very, very little coverage. We come back. We're going to be talking to Zee Ali, who is the principal of Zag Media Productions, being very successful in a very tough area, about the future and some of the things that she sees that may be going on because of new technology, because of the aging of America and the world. And we will talk more about this. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now we have a nice long segment, but it is the last one. So the first thing I want to do is there anything in particular that you didn't cover that you want to cover so we don't miss it?
I think we're okay here. I'm still pondering how we can, but I didn't have time for this particular segment, pondering on how we can sort of change the mindset of independent films and of giving, kind of turn that around where it's an investment for people, especially the millennials, you know, to invest in independent film projects. I'm still toying with that. Yeah.
Well, what if I brought up, I mentioned technology. What if I brought up the new technology where people can crowdfund? You said it yourself. If you,
well,
in
yeah,
other words, bring it to the people.
Yeah, crowdfunding is one way, but it's also it's a very time-consuming way for money. There's the social media aspect, and you've got to say hi and give a shout-out. It's a job in itself. But I'm just wondering if there's something, even just taking it to, like, on a Wall Street type thing, where people have these, like, film funds.
I see. Okay,
you know,
okay.
And, right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
We'll talk about that.
They
should have, yeah, they should have film funds.
Right. Good. Good. All right. We're ready. Okay, very good. Before I say yes to Stuart, is there any other point? I want to give you a chance to...
Yeah.
Not that this is the last show we could do together, so it's all right.
Right.
All right.
No,
and,
I'm good. Yeah.
All right, and of course I'm going to ask you, we're going to start with that, but I'm going to ask you, you know, whether you're seeing any changes in general in media when it comes to images of aging. That'll be your opinion, and that'll be my second question, okay?
Okay.
So we are ready to go.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. So far as I know, the only syndicated national show that deals with aging, and we have such fascinating guests today. We are speaking with Zee Ali. She is the principal at Zag Media Productions, and it is an independent filmmaker. She's an award winner for Death in the Family, which was one of her first projects, winning the Silver Award at the Philadelphia International Film Festival. And she's working right now to fundraise, actually, for a major film called Sugarcoated. And that's really right up the alley of Generation Bold, because it's a showing of folks in an assisted living community who are very talented people, and they're going to help a younger person in a younger generation make a comeback for himself after he's been a caregiver of one of their friends. I mean, it's a story that has a wonderful potential for showing images of aging, even images of frailty, that we don't have to confront, but we can actually admire. And if any of you are interested in learning more about that, the biggest challenge for any independent filmmaker or any independent producer of theater as well is fundraising. And Sugarcoated the Movie will give you more information. You'll have also information about her LGBT project called Mama Gloria on our own website, Generation Bold Radio, next week. But I want to get back to you, Zee. We talked about technology and how technology might be changing the industry, but it might change the way money is raised as well. And one of them is crowdfunding. If people don't know what it is, you should explain it. But you've got a very unique idea. So first, give us a little explanation of crowdfunding, and then I want to talk about your idea that we have to bring to Wall Street.
Well, crowdfunding we did for the first two shorts for Death in the Family and for Danger Word. And so, yeah, for those two. And so we, you know, went out to our own group of people, you know, for that, friends, family, whoever, and, you know, we had incentives, et cetera. And that's pretty much how it's done now. There's Feed and Spark that's just for film. And there's so many, a plethora of other avenues, Kickstarter, of course, and Indiegogo for arts programs. And, but you're sometimes going after your same people you're funding. And they're friends, and they know you, and they'll give money, you know, to support you. But I like to see that taken out to more sustainable Wall Street, investment, a part of someone's portfolio to have film. Like people have, you know, property or, you know, they want to do stocks or bonds. Or, you know, why not do shares of a project or, you know, a movie you know, David Bowie years ago was the first, one of the first people that I know of that went out and sold futures on his album. Like, who does that? And so I think I, you know, to be outside of the box and, you know, people complain about Hollywood, and I think there's so much opportunity out there to be, you know, think beyond Hollywood and have these authentic voices, you know, be heard.
I think that there can be a trend, and I'll just take a moment on this one. Because I'm so steeped in the world of financial planning, my original field was law and financial gerontology, and I continue to work in that field and write in it and so on. There's a couple of issues. It may be something whose time has come because we have now actual mutual funds that are considered to be socially advanced. They have a lot of different names. They used to be called ethical funds. There's a lot of different names for them now. But this would be companies that are green. This would be companies that are particularly favorable to minorities or promote diversity or promote certain causes. But people expect to make money. Even though they're selecting, maybe it started with companies that don't sell tobacco, we'll say. It was one of the first ideas. Then it became sustainable energy companies. And now we have what we call socially responsible mutual funds. However, in every case, investors are judging it by the potential to make money, not by the fact that they're supporting something like you would in a charity. So there could be here something that's a hybrid kind of fund where we have somebody who's a proven name underwriting it by allowing the sale of their, like Stephen, you know, Sondheim has done things like this for his wonderful productions, and he supported charities through his art. So it is possible, but we have to think about this in terms of co-opting the people who create these funds and are willing to get out there and promote them. It's a tough way. It's a tough issue. It really is.
Well, but I want to say, Adrienne, that independent films do make money. A lot of them do, and a lot of them go on to have a longer life, you know, either on streaming or VOD. But, you know, my mind is losing me for a second. There are so many independent films, especially if they're low budgeted, especially if they're under the $5 million radar, or even some that are over the $5 million radar, that do make money, where investors do see their return on the dollar. So I think that...
it can be done. Well, that's good. You know, it's wonderful to know. And I will say that we talked about technology. I was very interested in the fact that you can make beautiful art a little bit less expensive because of technology. But the other thing you just triggered in my thinking this minute, Z, is that because we can continually stream a piece of art, a visual piece of art, a movie, a series, a short, we have potential, unlimited potential to make money on it. It doesn't have to be the people in the seats in the movie theater anymore. There's so many other ways to create an income stream, we'll call it, or a profit stream because of technology, that this could be the thing whose time has come. Now, and before I leave you, I have to say this because we're really getting to the end of our show. I thank you so much for doing what you're doing and selecting the topics that you're selecting. The fact is, when we talk about ZLE, ZEG Media Productions, we're talking about a focus on topics that's extremely rare, extremely brave, and I'm really, really thankful for it. So thank you so much for being with us, Z.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm just honored to be on your show and what you've done for our generation and for people who are aging. I love it. And, you know, I just want to say thank you. And
thank you. And for everybody else,
thank you.
Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, we did it.
Okay, we did it.
I think it really ended really well. Yeah, I think it ended very, very well. Okay, so you see how it goes. It'll be up. You'll get all the instructions and everything to hear it or use it or put it on your own social media, whatever you want to do. Belongs to you as much as it does to us. And that's it.
Okay.
The rest of it is the email. Yeah.
Good. All right, terrific. And we'll be in contact with regard to your production that you need done. And, yes, I want to hear about Reverend Brown. Reverend Johnson and Richard
Johnson.
Brown.
Yeah, I know. It's like I made up the names, Johnson and Brown. They're not like in the Witness Protection Program. Those are really their names. So, yeah. Okay. And they know each other, too, and they think that's funny.
Right. Oh, really? They do. That is funny. Okay.
Oh, everybody knows. In New York? Are you kidding? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I tell you, it's very limited. It's a limited field as much as you might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right.
During the week, all right?
All right. Thank you. All right.
Thanks.
Bye.